absolutely intercultural.
Fullständig tvärkulturell.
Absolut interkulturell.
Absolutamente intercultural.
Absolutely intercultural.
Welcome to episode number 15 of Absolutely Intercultural. This time, the motto of the show could be Go Abroad. And why not to Germany?
In this episode, we will hear reports, stories, and even some advice of people who went abroad to do their practical training or to study at a foreign university. Marie from Sweden, for example, has done both. First, she did an internship in Germany, and then, because she liked it so much, she came back about a year later to study here for a whole semester. Carsten tells us a little about what he experienced during his time in Sweden, where he did both work and study at the University of Umeå at the same time. And Alessandro Lablunda gives us some insights into his 6 months internship in Shanghai, which he just finished recently.
And right after that, we return to one of our regular columns, Culture as the Software of the Mind. Inspired by one of your comments, we take a look at the question, where do we get our software from? How does it get installed in our minds? And how can we eventually deinstall it if we need to? We had a little round table talk with Jean Lennox, an Irish-English friend of ours.
And in the end, we once again try to answer the question, what is culture? And this time, the answer comes from Roxana and Niels, two students from the USA and Germany who took part in the Hessen Global Summer Internship Program organized by the Institute Inter Research and the Universities of Hesse in Germany. So without further ado, let's listen to what Maria Nielsen has to say about her experiences during her internship and her studies abroad.
Yes, I was here the first time for an internship here at our campus. And then I came back 1.5 years later for a study semester.
All right. Let's first talk about your work. What kind of work did you do here? I understand you came as a student and you did an internship which counts towards your exam in Sweden?
Yes, that's a part of my diploma. That's like a course for my study. In Sweden, and I was here for 2 months in the summer, and I did some office work. We worked on a European project, and in the end we went to Ekill together, and I was working with the website for this project as well.
All right, okay. Now, after you came here as an intern, you also came later as a student. Maybe you can tell us a little bit about that experience.
Yes. First, I have to say I liked it here in Germany so much, and I thought I wanted to come back, and then I thought I wanted to try something else. So, and I still had some years to go in the university, so I did a study semester here as well.
Right. Was studying here at a German university different from studying back home?
Well, the study system is quite different, so I have to say yes. And so basically it's the same studying, but for example here in Germany we had all the exams in the end of the semester, and in Sweden we have them every 5th week or so. So that was a big challenge for me in the end to study for all the exams at the same time.
All right. Now, if you could tell people, the students from abroad, to come to Germany, which one would you say they should choose, studying here in Germany or doing an internship?
Well, I like both, but I would say studying, because then you meet, I think you meet a lot more people and you can integrate with the culture a little bit more. Okay, it's also nice to try to work in another culture, but I think you learn more from the whole culture if you're studying. Because you are studying, you meet people, you go with them on vacation or visit them at home or things like that.
Right. Were there any advantages of the internship as well?
Yes, it was as well, because I got to know the German style of working, and you have to adapt to every situation you go to, but it's also good.
Well, I think Marie is right. When you go to study abroad, it will most likely be much easier to integrate and mingle with your fellow students. But on the other hand, on an internship abroad, you get to know a lot of important things for your career and can develop your professional skills. I was lucky enough to do both when I went to Sweden during my studies. I worked in an office at the University of Umeå on an international project which dealt with media literacy and took some courses at the university at the same time. I would really recommend such a combination to any one of you, though it might be a bit unusual. But hey, you never know what comes out when you ask the right people, do you?
Well, can you tell us, Carsten, why do you think the combination is better than one of the two? Because most of my students would first do an internship and then study, or the other way around.
Because I think you get the best of both worlds. I was, for example, living in a student's dormitory with a lot of international students, so it was very easy for me to get in contact with people from all over the world who were in the same situation as I was. And on the same time, because I was working at the university, I was, for example, invited to the official Christmas party of the department.
Right.
I was invited to meetings. I got to know the Swedish style of work, and that was very interesting for me. And I met a lot of great people in both places, both students and both colleagues.
Right. Yes, the students often say that if they go on an internship or a practical training, that it is a little difficult to get in contact with people properly because they get invited once or twice in a polite manner, but they don't really sink into the culture. They don't really get to know people very well. So maybe the combination is very good. By the way, this morning, Alessandro La Blunda popped into my office. Alessandro has just returned from a 6 months internship in Shanghai, in China, and I asked him how easy or difficult it was to get integrated there.
Actually, in the beginning, it was really difficult because I had just my boss, who was an American, and he speaks really good Chinese, and he didn't really introduce me to my Chinese colleagues in the first few weeks. So after a few weeks, I decided to introduce myself to them. And well, after this few weeks, I had a real good relationship to my Chinese colleagues. And it was really, really nice knowing every one of them.
Did this relationship extend to your private life as well? Or was it just confined to the workplace?
Not directly to the private life. I mean, we nearly got outside for eating something all together, the whole office stuff, every 2 weeks. And there we spent, of course, our private time after working hours. But I didn't really get invitations at home, because actually our Chinese culture is not to invite people at their homes for eating or something like that, because they celebrate going eating outside. So it's more or less private, and community within the office is more like a friendship. And that's why they spend really much time together after working, because they see each other as real friends, and it's very amazing and very, well, uncommon in Germany.
Alessandro, thank you very much for being with us today. Some time ago, I had the opportunity to meet a guest professor from our partner university in Turkey, and I asked him what makes him think that his students should go abroad, well, and in particular, why they should come over to our university.
Actually, I have many things on my mind about why Turkish students should come to Germany to study and to visit. But I think the most important is there's a strict defined discipline of life and a mixture of different cultures in Germany that we cannot find in any other part of the world. So maybe that's the main point. For example, they have a mixture of different cultures, but they also have a discipline of traffic, way of life, working, which we hardly have in some of the Mediterranean countries, perhaps including Turkey.
Okay, and do you think that this could be attractive for your students, or do you think this should be necessary for your students to experience?
Well, I think first of all, they will be shocked to see that people wait in the traffic light, although there's no car around and it's a red light for the pedestrians, but people are waiting although there are no cars around. That's a huge experience, because then they'll have the chance to see that there are rules that are strictly obeyed in some cultures. But Turkey is not a culture for the rules, exactly. The rules are usually suggestions in my country, including the education. For example, here, if you are required to read a book, you must read a book. But in Turkey and maybe in some other Mediterranean countries, it's suggested that
it's
you
just
read a
suggestion.
Book.
Okay.
So
now, how did you find? I don't know whether you've also attended classes here with your colleagues. Do you find that the teaching style is different from your country?
Actually, I attended a huge workshop here, and I was very pleased to attend this workshop. And my colleagues here are very ambitious, just like my colleagues in Turkey. But in terms of lecturing, I think we are quite similar, because in Turkey and in here we are using similar tools, similar technologies, and I cannot say that we are so different. But of course, by the content we are different, because we focus on larger problems. We have bigger problems in Turkey, including
in the town planning.
That is true, right. Because I'm thinking about my own education and my own career. So,
when you speak to students who want to go to Germany, what do you tell them? How should they prepare for their stay abroad?
Yeah, that is one thing for sure. They should be be ready for the German discipline in terms of education. I'm not saying this in a bad sense. I think that's what we require in Turkey, because this orderly life, this orderly education. I think we should learn a lot from this experience in Germany, and I think the world should learn a lot from this experience. And you know, still, all the machines that we rely on are almost German made, so there should be a reason for that, right?
Okay. I have the feeling we have a lot to learn from you and from your students when they come over, to be a little more relaxed. For example, today we are trying to do this international fair here in the middle of the building where the sun is shining outside. I'm sure that in Turkey we would have found a way to move the whole thing outside, for example.
Yeah, that is true. But I should add this. I focused on the discipline and education, but I also should point out that there's a huge cultural life here in Germany. So I think the Turkish students should experience this huge, rich cultural life that Germany can provide for them, and they should take the advantage that there are so many Turkish students here and from many other cultures.
Do the Turkish students realize how many Turkish people they will meet here in Germany? Because I read the other day that in England there is a new encyclopedia, and in fact where it lists Germany, it has listed two national languages, and the first one is German and the second one is Turkish, which is amazing. But this is just a reflection of how many Turkish people we have in Germany. Now, is that a consideration for you and for your students to come over?
You know what? I was surprised to learn that, although I read a lot about Germany and about Europe, first time I hear this from you, but I was surprised to see so many Turkish people here speaking Turkish, and also some other German citizens who speak Turkish properly. So I think this is a huge advantage for Turkish students, because it's like a second house for them in Europe. So I think this is a huge point in attracting Turkish students to Germany for education.
Yes.
And plus, I should add that it's very, how can I say, the expenses are not much, they are not as high as I expected. You know?
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
So you think it would be affordable for your students to come
exactly,
over to
yeah,
Germany?
Exactly, yeah, that is the correct word. It's very affordable, and I think it's a very good chance to study in Germany.
Well, actually, I can tell you that the Turkish community in Germany is doing a good job making it affordable, because believe it or not, the most common fast food in Germany is no longer the Bratwurst, as in the past, but it's the Döner.
Yeah, I knew that.
Okay, thank you very much for being with us today.
Thank you for inviting me and having me the chance to talk about it. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Now, that is actually true. The cost of living in Germany is, compared to other European countries, quite moderate. I realized this when I came back from Sweden. You can get along here quite well with little money, especially in the smaller cities, which, for a lot of students, is an important thing to consider.
Well, after all those stories about going abroad,
doing internships and studying at universities in faraway countries. Let's return to one of our regular columns now, which is called Culture as the Software of the Mind. Here we discuss the different aspects of Hofstede's concept, and this time Jean Lennox, Carsten and I are talking about how to install and de-install the cultural software in our minds. And where do we get our cultural software from in the first place?
Well, I think there are obviously things that we can, that we learn to do. We all learn to eat and sleep and walk. But I think what I personally remember, if this is what you mean, being very much influenced by religion as a child and being taught that terrible things would happen to me. And it took me, if I did the wrong things, obviously, and it took me years to reprogram myself, I think, from this. Is that the kind of
thing
you would be thinking of? Yes.
So did that come from your parents, or did it come from the pulpit in the church, or where? Okay, maybe you can give us a very concrete example.
Well, the concrete, I remember my first day at school, the first thing we had to draw was a picture of heaven and hell.
Right.
And we knew right away if we weren't good, we would be in hell. And I mean, we were five, and this was in an Irish school, well, Irish area of England. And I often think about this, how we were programmed, and it took years to reprogram and realize that that wasn't going to happen.
Right. Did you actively reprogram that? Did you sort of go to your psychiatrist and say, oh, I must get rid of this because it's driving me crazy every time I eat too much. I have the impression I will go to the hell I painted when I was 5 years old.
Yes, I did actually. It was one of the things I did have problems with. I spoke to a lot of people about it, to professionals as well. And yeah, basically. But it took a long time, and it was so deeply ingrained. I think it was so deeply ingrained in a lot of us at that time. And it was just very difficult to get rid of.
Right. Yeah. Well, actually, I think this is true as well for real software of computers. Of course, you de-install it, but I'm not a specialist, but it's not enough just to delete it, for example. I think just deleting the program doesn't get rid of everything. I think there is need to de-install or something.
Yeah, it depends on the software, and it's becoming a bit technical now, because just to keep it on a basic level. I mean, if you have installed a software, like properly installed a software, and you just delete it, there will be some parts of the software there will remain parts of the software on the computer. So the deep roots of the software in the system, somewhere in the core, will remain, unless you don't thoroughly de-install it. Mm-hmm. So if you compare that to culture, I think that it's sometimes very hard to really get rid of your roots, if you really can do that.
I think you can never get rid of your roots. You have to learn to live with them, and you have to learn to live with things you might not agree with anymore, but they still have frightened you as a child or influenced your development. Basically, I suppose if you're very wise, you would say you're thankful for these roots and you make the best out of them. It's difficult to be that wise, I'm quite sure. But I think that is what the software or the program we have is the only alternative we have, really. If as you say, we are similar to computers, we can't de-install ourselves.
Mm-hmm. So this would have been a piece of software that was installed when you were 5 years old, mm-hmm. or maybe even a little earlier, and took quite a time, and it kept being installed on your system.
And it took updated regularly, yes.
Updated also, yes.
Very regularly.
But you have also made an effort to soften it down again and to try to get rid of some of the things which you thought were not so helpful.
You just said one very interesting thing, Jean, that if you compare it to us being a computer, it takes other people to de-install software.
Mm-hmm. I think that's different. I think we can have people help us de-install it, but we have to let it be de-installed. But I don't think you can de-install, though. I don't know too much about computers, but if what you've said is correct, there are always traces left in a computer. That's the same with us as well. There are always traces of what we've learned.
I mean, we are no experts. The only time where I notice that there is something left on the computer is when I then want to install a new program. Mm-hmm. And then somehow I get a message saying that there are still traces of the old one or an old version or something. And otherwise, I would have thought that it is completely gone. But apparently there is still some little bit of residue. And maybe the same is true, like, for example, if you were influenced a lot by the Catholic Church when you were young. Maybe sort of if you went to India and if you wanted to learn a new religion, you would every now and then probably realize, there's already something in that corner
where I'm learning now. I would think so. I think it's the same with relationships, isn't it? If we go on to another big topic of relationships, I suppose that's the same. We have our first relationships, partners, and you can't delete them and start off with new ones and delete them, but the traces are always there. Mm. Yeah.
That's true. And sometimes the next relationship suffers a little bit because there is this still running in the background.
Yeah.
As if there was one system still running there.
There's one thing coming to my mind, because there are certain kinds of software you don't have to install. You just copy them to your hardware, to your computer, and run them. So you don't have to really install them. They won't leave traces if you delete them, mm-hmm. just like that. So that might be parts of us, or parts of our culture that we just use, that we just take from somebody, from somewhere, use them, and if we don't need them anymore, we just get rid of them, we just delete them, and they won't leave traces.
Well, we hope that this will provide you with some food for thought. If there's any aspect of culture as the software of the mind you would like to know more about, then please visit our blog at www.absolutely-intercultural.com. There you can read about the different aspects we have already discussed, and you can, of course, contact us or suggest other parts which we haven't explored. We're very happy if you make suggestions what we should discuss here around the table. Let us come to our last question for today. What is culture? This time the answer is given by Roxana and Niels, two students from the USA and from Germany, who took part in the Hessen Global Summer Internship Program organized by the Institute Inter Research and the Universities of Hesse in Germany.
We think that culture is a little bit like a fire. I think this picture is very good, this image, because it's beginning with a little spark, and there are people coming, joining this first little fire, and they add kindling to the small flame, and it's becoming bigger.
Some things can put out the fire, such as rain or other things that can suppress the fire, but if it's left uncontrolled, fire can also grow too big and become violent and burn down everything in its path.
Well, that's it for today. Thank you very much again for listening to our show and for giving us feedback on the blog or via email. Please go to www.absolutely-intercultural.com, where you can participate in several ongoing discussions, and please also put your pin on the Frapper map. It is very exciting to see where our listeners are, and we would really enjoy having your pin on there. There are already more than 70 pins on it, but the world is big enough for all of us, so please go to our blog and put yourself on the map. Now, the next show will be coming to you from Denmark on the 20th of October. So please,
stay tuned.
Absolutely intercultural.
Fullständig tverkulturell.
Absolut interkulturell.
Absolutamente intercultural.
Absolutely intercultural.